So acquisition oversight. Sometimes these words, they get a little lingo-y. So let's take a step back before we get into the details and say, what is acquisition oversight? What are we talking about here?
Okay, good question, and I think context is important. When we talk about DHS in particular, we must remember that it was established in 2003, and it pulled together 22 separate federal agencies into one department, and they have over 67 major investments right now, and many of them were started before DHS was even established. And these investments provide a range of important missions, securing the border, passenger baggage screening, coastal security, mitigating natural disasters. And these acquisitions and the dollar value of these acquisitions have just grown. In 2004, it was about $8.5 billion, and in 2009, it was $14.2 billion. Now, with your question, it's important to have sound acquisition policies and practices that can help inform the decisions as you move along and to provide the sufficient oversight at the departmental level. But there's different components of that that I think are key, and I think our report kind of drew on these issues. One, you really should have clearly defined requirements up front and be able to match those requirements with the available resources. And you also need to take basically a knowledge-based approach. And we've done a lot of work at DOD and NASA where we talk about having a knowledge-based approach. And what that in part means is that you have sufficient information as you move along the acquisition where you have enough information to have good insights and be able to say, yeah, I think everything is still in step with the way we expected, and we're ready now to move to the next stage. And you also need realistic cost estimates, and I think those are important because it's part of your effort to be able to gauge how well you're doing over time. But in November 08, we issued a report, and what we found was that at DHS was a lack of execution of existing policies and processes. And these were really to, as I said earlier, inform investment decisions and put the investments on a better footing to success. And so when we undertook this effort, basically we wanted to follow up about a year and a half later and see what DH efforts have been. And also, try to gauge by drilling down a little bit more into some specific projects.
Oh, my goodness. There's so many things there that I want to talk to you about. Well, let's start off. And you mentioned having an acquisition process. And Dee Lee, when she was director of procurement over at DOD, always used to describe the acquisition process. She said it's not that hard. Tell them what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Do it. And then check to make sure it's getting done.
Right.
And people, I think, sometimes just want to rush into the do it part and don't the planning part they tend to gloss over. And that's essentially the acquisition process.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have that right?
Well, I think you're pointing to the front end acquisition planning, basically understanding at a high level initially what your mission need is.
Yeah.
What are the gaps out there? And then how are you going to fill them? And from that point on, there's and DHS has this process in place now, but there's a disciplined process to go through where you formally, the components will develop the key documents like a mission need statement. And again, as I said, that's describing your mission and the concept of the solution to fill it.
And your report even says that DHS has something that they call the Acquisition Review Board.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what an Acquisition Review Board is, because I think a lot of agencies may have these, but people don't know what they do.
Right. At DHS, it's folks that you will have people from the Chief Information Office, Chief Financial Office, the Chief Procurement Office, a lot of the key stakeholders, as well as the key people at the components, and it could be TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, could be the Coast Guard, whoever has the activity or the program that they're trying to execute. You'll have the program people, and you'll have people at the departmental level. And at each stage of the acquisition, there's a certain amount of information and knowledge that should be obtained at that point before you move on. So this acquisition review board, in essence, is like looking over the components efforts and basically asking sometimes some of the hard questions like, are we really ready yet? Do we really know enough to move forward?
And this is getting everybody, if you have everyone around the same table, then everyone's on the same page. You're making a unified decision around whether we can move forward.
That's
we have
correct.
Enough information?
That's correct.
Yeah. Now, this acquisition review board at DHS reviewed 24 major acquisitions between fiscal 2008 and 2009. but that left 40 major acquisitions that did not come before the board. Now, I'm just a dumb guy, but that seems odd.
Well, it's funny. If you go back just to our November 08 report, the picture was even bleaker. And I think they've actually reviewed formally more programs at this point in time than they were really anticipating. So in some sense, they've moved along a little further than they even expected. But you're right. There are several major, almost up to five dozen major programs that still have to kind of go through this. And I think staffing in part is an issue. They increased their oversight staff over at DHS in this ARB process from 8 in 2008 to 22 in 2009. And they're bringing in people with expertise in the area of cost estimating and people that have had prior experience trying to move along major acquisitions. So they're building the workforce, but that workforce right now is still not sufficient to fully implement the total formal process.
I want to talk about the realistic cost estimate part, because we all know, and it's the worst told story in all of government, I think, is the budget process. So folks may actually make a recommendation on how much a program costs. It goes from an agency to the senior levels. They say, well, we're not going to get all that money, so they reduce it. It then goes to OMB. They reduce it some more. Then goes to Congress. They reduce it some more. And pretty soon, the end product is nothing near what may have been a fairly accurate cost estimate. Is that much of a problem here?
Well, Chris, you're pointing to one thing that we see, whether it be DHS or sometimes at other agencies. But I think the important thing here is that you start with a sound cost estimate to begin with. And oftentimes what you might see is that these programs get stretched out, and what it ends up in a number of cases that it might end up costing you more.
Yeah.
But what we found at DHS, and this was probably one of our biggest challenges in doing this work, was even trying to collect good cost estimates.
Yeah.
And the department has acknowledged to us that, say, for example, their life cycle cost, which covers the total cost of the acquisition of the asset as well as the sustainment over time. And the estimation was really, they really didn't feel they were comfortable with the estimates, and they weren't validated. And therefore, we ended up using cost estimates that they report to Congress and the OMB.
Yeah. The other issue that you mentioned was having sufficient information, having sufficient data on which to make accurate decisions. And part of that goes to having financial management systems that can collect that kind of data, doesn't it?
Well, in part, and I think one of our points in the report was that as you look at this formal process that you're trying to implement, a year and a half ago, they couldn't tell you very well at one point in time where the various programs were. Say, for example, if the formal board gave a component a conditional approval to proceed to the next step, they may have said, but we also want you to refine your estimates and we want you to do a couple of other things. Well, in the past, they really weren't able to track it. They now have a tracking system, so they kind of at best try to keep visible what still is out there and what needs to be done. And that's a positive thing.
One other little tidbit that was in your report that really kind of surprised me. More than half of the programs that you reviewed initiated acquisition activities without approval of key planning documents that set operational requirements and establish program baselines. Once again, that seems like a discipline thing. We don't move forward unless we have these operational documents, unless we know where we're going.
Absolutely. And I think the significance of that, and where it really comes home, is the need to, you know, they have to better integrate this whole formal process into the budget process. And some of these documents are key to doing that, because as you move along, if they've developed the documents in accordance with their directive and they've gotten the appropriate approvals, then they have that little visibility into the program. But unless you're integrated into the budget process, basically you're in a situation where programs were receiving funding without any validation of the need or the requirements. Mm. And again, without sound cost estimates, I think it can have a rippling effect on the budget process down the road, because it's supposed to actually inform the annual budget process.
And it seems like this is more complex with particularly these large systems, because there are just so many moving parts. So keeping track of all of it, I mean, OMB talked talking last week about ways of improving large financial systems, but any IT systems. The larger they get, the more difficult, more complex.
Oh, there's no question. And a lot of these systems have a big IT component to it, and that is a major challenge for anybody to try to bring in a large investment in on schedule and on time.
And what I keep hearing, and frankly been covering for almost 20 years now, is people saying, hold on, we need to do this in smaller chunks rather than something big, because it's the bigger you get, the harder it gets. And yet we still keep trying to, it seems the big bang.
Yeah, I think what you're pointing to is, you know, we often say, well, you have the initial requirement up front, and then maybe something changes down the road. Well, maybe you're better off taking an incremental approach instead of perhaps moving the goal line and then shooting for the grand slam
yeah.
each time. And I think you're making a good point there.